Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm attorney Barry Vogel. The laws around the control of marijuana and medical marijuana usage are many and complex. How we find our way through this maze and understand the rules and regulations surrounding the marijuana plant, allegedly thousands of years old, used legally and illicitly worldwide, and well known in Northern California by many as an economic base and or a source of pleasure, presents many curious questions. In this edition of Radio Curious, we visit again with Mendocino County Sheriff Tom Allman in an attempt to clarify the laws and ordinances currently in effect in Mendocino County, California, and how he, as county sheriff, enforces them. Sheriff Allman has been heard to say that he would like to take marijuana off the front page. We hear how he views the evolution of marijuana control and whether he can foresee a time when marijuana no longer is on the front page. I spoke with Sheriff Tom Allman in the studios of Radio Curious on April 13, 2009, and began by asking what changes he has witnessed with regard to marijuana beginning when he was a child growing up in Garberville at the southern end of our neighbor, Humboldt County, California. Tom Allman, Sheriff of Mendocino County, welcome to Radio Curious.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you for having me.
Let's try and put the marijuana problem in our county in perspective and begin with the conversation of how did it get to where it was? You grew up in Garberville.
I did.
Your personal experience with marijuana is nil.
I've never smoked it, but I've been around many people. You know, I went to high school in Miranda, South Fork, and I've had family members that have been, you know, they've experimented and so forth. So I'm not a prude, and I'm not saying, gosh, you know, thou shalt not. It's just something that I've chosen that I wouldn't do. I can tell you why I've never smoked it.
As I recall from an earlier conversation, it's because when you were a young man, 10, 11, you wanted to be a fireman.
That's exactly right. The fire chief said, if you smoke marijuana, you'll never be a fireman, and he scared me to death.
But you're not a fireman.
No, I'm not. I started as a fireman. But...
So to put this in a time perspective, what year did you graduate high school?
1979.
And in the 70s, marijuana cultivation was a felony. Which generally meant some jail time, if not state prison time.
Oh, I think that in the later 70s, we were getting into the area where cultivation of marijuana was not prison time as it had been earlier, but definitely jail time. And it's gradually got to the point where cultivation of marijuana is the standard sentence would be a low-term county jail or probation, and we're not talking about the high-end, large commercial operations. We're talking about people who are just maybe getting a little bit too greedy.
And now it's gone to the other extreme, where using the conversation that you presented to the Mendocino County Defense Bar, and actually there were some prosecutors there, Meredith Lintott was there, on April 3rd, you were describing the circumstances under which you or your deputies would approve the way people are cultivating marijuana, not so much from an agricultural sense, but in a number of plant sense.
Well, from a legal sense. When I say this, you know, I don't know if you're ever going to see the majority of law enforcement approving of the way marijuana is looked at by the voters, but I definitely will say without a doubt that you'll find law enforcement respecting what the voters have approved.
So asking you as a person who grew up in southern Humboldt County, moved to Mendocino County, you're now the sheriff, how would you describe this change?
Well, I think it's an evolution. I don't want to call it a slippery slope because a slippery slope would be saying that it went somewhere where we didn't control or it went somewhere where it was beyond the voter's intention. I think evolution is the word I would use on this. And I don't think we're in a bad spot right now, Barry. I want to do what I can to get marijuana off the front page. That's a mantra of mine, because I feel that the more it's on the front page, the more it gets emotions up, the more we get the emotions up, the more we have people that, you know, want to be extreme one way or the other. And I have my Tom Allman theory of this.
Which is?
There's three groups of people when it deals with marijuana conversation. There's 5% of the population that thinks that you should be able to do anything with any herb you grow and sell it all you want, and there should be no regulations whatsoever. Then there's 5% of the population that would go back to the 60s, you know, if you have a marijuana seed, you should go to prison for a long, long time. Well, there's nothing I can say or do to influence or to change or to open the minds of either one of those segments. But the 90% in the middle are the people that I want to listen to, and I want to pick their brain and say, how can we make this better? And as long as someone has an open mind, myself included, I believe we can continue to evolve to get to a point where marijuana is not on the front page, and we can go about and do other things in law enforcement and general government that are important to all of us.
Like methamphetamine.
Methamphetamine is huge. You know, we have a huge problem in Mendocino County. Last week, Barry, we arrested 4 people under the age of 20 for making methamphetamine. Now we're going to have 4 felons that society is going to deal with either incarceration or on our social service system for the rest of their lives. And we're, you know, that doesn't include providing them the legal defense and so forth during their trial. And so methamphetamine is something that we all have a common interest in. You know, I can't use my 5% and 5% and 90% theory when it comes to methamphetamine.
I'd like to get back to methamphetamine if we can, but let's stay with marijuana for a minute. And on marijuana, you don't want it on the front page, but you're here talking to me in the studios of Radio Curious, and you've been making other public presentations which attempt to bring it on the front page.
There's a reason for that, Barry. There's a reason that on April 3rd I met with the defense attorneys. There's a reason that later this week we're buying half-page ads in every newspaper in this county explaining what the marijuana laws are this year, because if we can make a consistent law, if we can all get together and say, listen, we have consistency, then what we're going to have is we're going to have a huge percentage of people who will be in voluntary compliance. We're not going to have the large grows from out-of-town people coming here. They're going to say, listen, Mendocino County has got their act together. They have a consistent law, and those people who are abusing law are going to be arrested, so let's grow some other place.
And you're basically the gatekeeper. You and your deputies are the great gatekeeper. If you see a problem, you will determine if it is within the existing law or whether it's beyond.
I think we're the watched gatekeeper. And what I mean by that is we may be the gatekeeper in many people's eyes, but if we're not keeping the gate appropriately, I think that there's other agencies at the state and federal level that would say, well, wait, maybe we need to be the gatekeeper in Mendocino County.
Well, let's talk about how someone's gate is watched. And as I understand it, per parcel, per assessor's parcel number, 25 plants.
For your listeners, I just want to really explain that we're dealing with several different laws here. And Measure B was passed by the voters of Mendocino County in June of 2008. And now you've addressed an issue which was passed by the Board of Supervisors in 2008. This was not voter approved. This was Board of Supervisors.
Well, they both have equal value from enforcement point of view. I know that as an attorney. But from whence they came, is this a voter statement or is it a statement of the legislature, the supervisors acting as a legislature, which carries a different innuendo or impact among the law enforcement group? Would you agree?
Well, maybe it carries a different innuendo. However, a law is a law. And whether it's, you know, the former Measure G or the current Measure B or the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Supervisors passed several in their ordinance, several regulations regarding marijuana, such as there has to be a 6-foot fence with a lockable gate, that the gate is locked whenever the patient or caregiver is not in the immediate area of the medical marijuana. Well, that's a great law. I support that. That's a public safety issue that I'm thrilled is there. We have the 1,000 feet away from church, youth-oriented facility, park, school, and so forth. that was Board of Supervisor passed. We do have the Board of Supervisor passed 25 plants per legal parcel. So there's several issues out there. What our advertisements and our half-page ads are going to say is exactly all of this, all of these laws, because I don't want confusion. I don't want people to say, why didn't anybody tell me that?
And then we have the 6 plant per patient. So to be able to grow 25 plants, a person would have to have 3 or 4 medical marijuana cards for themselves, perhaps, and 3 others if they qualified as a care provider.
We're getting into new territory for a lot of growers right now. And the Mintz decision, which was decided by the courts last year at the state level, is a very significant decision. And the sentence you said, well, unless they had 3 or 4 other cards for people.
They have to meet the state Supreme Court's qualifications to be a care provider.
You do, and just merely growing marijuana does not meet that criteria.
So when you go to someone's parcel and you see what they have, what do you look behind to determine that they are a qualified caregiver? And before you give that answer, I want to say that in this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Mendocino County Sheriff Tom Allman in the studios of Radio Curious, talking about marijuana. So, Tom, when you go to someone's house or property and they claim to be a caregiver,
right,
what do you look for proof that they are in fact caregivers?
Well, we conduct an investigation. An investigation may be...
You come onto the property, and you would ask to see certain documentation.
Sure. Let's start with hopefully the original copy of the doctor's recommendation. That would be a good start. And I hope your listeners understand that one of the reasons that this is brought to the forefront is because photocopies of photocopies of photocopies have been used by people who have been growing outside the boundaries for a long time. And the fact that we have doctors who are now making recommendations on the new type of paper that says copy, 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 if a photocopy is made, it's huge. It shows that we have some doctors out there who understand that they need to be a little bit more responsible in the originals and recommendations. So let's continue with the investigation, and let's say this recommendation is for Joe Smith, you know, and where is Mr. Smith? And if they say, well, you know, Mr. Smith lives in Modesto, and I'm growing medical marijuana for him, and I'm his caregiver, that doesn't automatically meet the criteria that the state Supreme Court has said.
What do you do in that case?
Well, we'll continue on our investigation. We're going to investigate, and we're going to find out if this is a legitimate caregiver or if it's a person who thinks that they found a loophole.
You're not necessarily going to take the plants out at that moment until you have conducted your investigation.
Especially if it's in the pre-flowering season, you know, the late August, early September season when these plants start changing.
I understand from what you said when you spoke to the defense attorneys, up to 40 plants is a line.
Well, I'm not going to paint myself into a corner and say the number is exactly 40, because if we believe, let's say there's 39 plants, and our investigation shows that it's a 100% commercial operation, which is being grown under the guise of medical marijuana. However, it's a sham. Then we may eradicate all plants. We may eradicate all 39 plants. Barry, this is very important. Commercial marijuana in California is still a felony, and it's not even a wobbler. The judge doesn't say, well, is this a misdemeanor or felony? It's a felony.
Well, that's determined by the prosecutor, by Meredith Lintott. She could file it one way or another, even though the law is pretty clear that cultivation is a felony, with various exceptions for medical marijuana. And generally, as I've observed her work, she will file them as felonies, and then if proof that can be presented by the defense counsel that it is medical marijuana, then it's a different story. Is that your experience?
That's a very fair statement, but let's clarify what the law really is. And Proposition 215 does not say marijuana is legal. What Proposition 215 says is if you're a medical marijuana patient or caregiver and you get into the criminal justice system because of the marijuana, that the medical condition of the patient can be used as an affirmative defense to not have the charges pursued against you. So these people who say, well, listen, marijuana is legal, say, well, maybe you need to get a legal opinion on that because it's an affirmative defense. And if you're a listener out there and you're confused about this, contact your lawyer and say, can you explain what medical marijuana, you know, can be grown for, and how can I follow the law to be legal within the boundaries?
Well, it's not really what it can be grown for. It can be grown pursuant to a doctor's recommendation that the patient use it or have access to it or grow it, as opposed to saying it can be grown for arthritis or some other physical ailment.
Right. And also, I want your listeners to understand why they always hear the term recommended instead of prescribed, because a doctor cannot prescribe marijuana. A doctor can recommend marijuana.
So let's go on to the issue of someone having more than 25 plants, and let's say up to 39 or 40 using the numbers we've talked about. If you go to a property and there are 40 plants,
okay.
On some circumstances you would eradicate it. On others you would, I've heard you use the term red tag it.
As in abate the nuisance. Right?
Which sets off another period of time and a period of appeals.
Right.
Tell us about those.
Well, when the Board of Supervisors passed their ordinances last year, the 1,000 feet from a school, no more than 25 per parcel, 6-foot fence and so forth, what they did is, in summary, they stated, listen, these laws can be compared to building code violations. And if a law enforcement officer goes up and sees that, let's say, 35 plants are being grown, and the person says, you know, I'm caring for these 7 people, what the law enforcement officer has the option of doing is red tagging it, and with a, I believe it's a 2-week, either 2-week or 15-day period where the person can come into compliance. And we would say, you choose which 10 plants, or if we'll explain what the law is, you choose what plants are going to be eradicated, and they'll cut them down and they destroy them.
How about if it is prior to the time that it can be determined whether they're male or female plants?
Well, we're only talking about mature female plants here. One of my angst is everybody wants to talk about these cases that are just right on the verge of, is it legal, isn't it legal? You know, what are we going to do in this situation? And my deputies have really and truly improved their understanding of what the laws are. I don't want to go in those gardens with 27 plants. I want our resources to be spent on the guy who has 200 plants. I want to go after the bigger grows and focus on the people who really and truly are thumbing their nose at the laws. And so, without a doubt, if it hadn't been for the people who are blatantly abusing the law and the people who are always pushing the envelope, Measure B would have never been on the ballot.
So then how do you identify the large grows?
By air, citizen report, by a general investigation. I don't want my deputies driving down the road with a set of binoculars counting to 27.
Who does the aerial surveillance?
We have some aerial surveillance. We as a sheriff's office. However, you know, Mendocino County is not an island. We can't say, well, other agencies stay out. And I know that we have other agencies at a much higher budget than we do who they come and they provide us pictures of these large gardens.
What does a marijuana garden look like from the air?
Currently, if somebody believes that they're complying with the law, it's usually a very tidy garden, fenced to keep deer out, weed-free. It looks like a well-maintained garden, as opposed to the pre-Prop 215 gardens. And we still have some of the gardens out there that I'm going to describe that are secreted amongst trees. I've seen them with pulley systems lifted into trees.
Does the sheriff's office have a hotline that people can call when questions occur to them that are not answered either in this conversation or in the newspaper ads that you will be taking out?
Well, I would imagine the questions will be answered in the newspaper ads, but one of the things that we are offering this year is we're offering citizens the ability to call the sheriff's office, and if they think they're in compliance but they don't know for sure, we can come out and look at their garden and see if they're in compliance.
What kind of assurance can you give to someone who would call the sheriff and say, come look at my marijuana grow? That's a pretty scary thing.
It's not scary for people who are trying to comply with the law. Maybe it's scary for paranoid people, but they're not going to call us to start with.
We talked in our first interview about a distrust of government, and that was under the Bush administration. But I think some people have a fear of law enforcement, and that's where I bring in the word scary.
Okay, and I'm not going to disagree, and that's one of the reasons that you're going to hear us talking more about zip ties in the next couple of weeks. The sheriff's office is not going to sell them. They're going to be sold through public health. We understand that people out there have some people may have a hate for cops. That's understandable. But I think some people may be distrustful towards government. But one of the things that I'm very adamant about with my employees is to improve the trust that we have in the community and be as transparent as possible. And if somebody calls and says, listen, I need you to come out and look at my garden to see if I'm in compliance, you know what? We would be pretty foolhardy to go out there with a SWAT team and cut down the marijuana.
It would be the last call.
It would be the last call. And Barry, if we're going to get this marijuana item off the front page, then we need to get to a point where it's not the everyday conversation of our citizenry. You know what, Barry, I work between 80 hours a week. And without a doubt, 40 hours a week is spent with marijuana. And I don't know how we can continue to improve other priorities. I have a jail that's falling down. I need to deal with methamphetamine. We have a work release program we need to get on. We're trying to get more inmates out on GPS, ankle bracelets. There's many, many items out there that I need to spend my time on, but I can't. I physically can't because I need to be dealing with the marijuana issues because they're on the front burner of a lot of other people.
Well, perhaps we can do an interview about the jail, for instance, and inmate release. But let's talk in the last few minutes of this conversation about methamphetamine.
Okay.
In a conversation that we had earlier off the record, you talked about a company that you were working with that had to do with methamphetamine and a new software.
Barry, this is probably the most exciting thing that's happened in the drug education campaign in my career. And I've been a cop for 27 years. The sheriff's office has been working with a company in Moss Beach, California, called Abalone LLC, and software has been developed, and it's called Face to Face. It's the word face, the number two, and the word face. This software allows us to engage a young person, a teenager, in a conversation about methamphetamine. Their picture is taken. After their picture is taken, we have 2.5 minutes to talk to them about the chemicals that are inside methamphetamine, what it does to the body, to the organs, you know, why they call it speed, because it just ages a body so fast. And then at the end of 2.5 minutes, the computer model shows them their picture and what they would look like if they used methamphetamine over a 6-month, 2-year, and 3-year period. And we're having incredible results with this.
Describe the change.
Your skin gets, your face gets sunken in. You get blemishes on your face. Your mouth, the corners of your mouth droop down. It's an aging process. I've had people look at it and say, gosh, in that 3-year period, the computer model 3-year, you know, I've aged 25 years. And the whole idea was, it came to us from a website that you find on the web called facesofmeth.org. And Faces of Meth are genuine people. These are people that a deputy sheriff in Oregon started following in his career as they were coming through the revolving door of the criminal justice system. He would start comparing their booking photos, and their booking photos were horrible. I mean, the photos were good, but it would just show what this person has gone through. And so now we have a program that this company is now selling, and the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office methamphetamine program now gets 10% of these software that's being sold nationwide. And it's exciting. I haven't heard one negative thing about it. I've heard young people who have gone through the 2.5 minute process. They've said things like, no, I do not want my picture printed, because we offer them to print out what happens right there. They say, no, I don't want it printed. What you just showed me is all I need to remember. We had another kid who asked to have it printed out, and he put it on his refrigerator to remind him every day of what methamphetamine does. So,
where can parents or children or interested people have the opportunity to experience this 3-minute discussion?
If they live within Mendocino County and they contact the sheriff's office, the front office, 463-4411, and they ask for our CSO, our community service officer, and her name is Mo, and we'll go out to, you know, groups of kids. We're not to the point where we're saying we're going to do it for one, you know, go and take this camera and everything set up for one kid. But if there's a group of kids, 5 or 6, or if there's a group of 20, we'll come there and we'll talk to them. We want to have a one-on-one conversation. The reason it's called face-to-face is not just because it changes the face-to-face, because we believe that you need to engage a young person in a genuine face-to-face conversation about drugs. And if there's parents out there listening to this, I'm going to say this, and it's I'm saying it with all my heart. If you want to know what's going on with your young person's life and drugs, build the relationship with that person, with your son or daughter, and ask them. And even though I've been in law enforcement a long time, and I've been around, and I've bought narcotics, you know, undercover in this county, I don't know what kids know. I'm not the expert. It's the young people who know what it is, and just get involved.
Well, Sheriff Tom Allman, I want to thank you very much for being with us again here on Radio Curious in our Ukiah studio, and come again.
Thanks, Barry. I appreciate this opportunity, and I look forward to having a conversation that's not about marijuana soon. I'd like to talk about our jail. I'd like to talk about some positive things that we're trying to do in this county.
We'll see what we can do to arrange it.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye. Tom Allman is the sheriff of Mendocino County, California. Although we didn't ask him on air about his newly learned concept or a book, here they are. The concept is that local government here in Mendocino County has to stand on its own 2 feet without support from the state or federal government. The book that Tom Allman recommends is Vet Tales by Charlie Freed, F-R-E-E-D, a local veterinarian based in Willits, California. This interview was recorded in the studios of Radio Curious on April 13, 2009. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. There are over 750 archives on our website, radiocurious.org. And I'm honored to tell you that Radio Curious is now part of the collection at the Library of Congress. We appreciate your cards, ideas, and letters, and do enjoy hearing from you. The email is curious@radiocurious.org. The postal address is 700 West Smith Street, Ukiah, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.